Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Dr. Deborah and Therapist Kelly Show, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, I'm Dr. Deborah.
Hi, it's Therapist Kelly.
Hello, Kelly.
Falling asleep.
Hello, listeners. We're so glad you tuned in. If you want to give us a call today, please do at 323-203-0815. We have such an exciting show. But you, poor Kelly, no sleep.
Little oh my
London.
God! It's yeah. It,
London
honestly,
Bridge
like
is
I'm operating.
Down.
Yes, exactly. That's for sure. I'm about 2-3 hours. Yeah, that I got. And Poor David was like literally. I was scared. He was commuting to work. I'm thinking, oh my God, he's gonna like have highway hypnosis and fall asleep. Yeah, but here's the good news. It was actually really cute. So I think he's got croup. You know, that horrible, like, seal-like cough.
Yes.
And so, you know, in our house, it came with a steamer that I never use. Like, never. Because, like, my hair takes so long. It's like I barely have, like, a minute to shower. So, but it was, like, really cute. We had, like, a little spa morning. Like, I put eucalyptus in the steamer. And it was, like, he and I, like, in the steamer. It was so cute. So, so there's the silver lining. We had a nice little, you know, cute little bonding morning.
Now, how do you keep the kids separate so you can try to ensure that Remy won't catch it?
It's called a prayer book. Okay. Like, never, no. And that is, like, out, like, they drink from the same cup. It's like, oh, that was mine. Like, there's just, you know, I've surrendered to that. But, you know, Remy's had a little bit of this, like, lingering cough. So I don't know if that, like, finally Lennon got it or it's just random. They also went to those, like, gym places. They had a birthday party on Saturday. And I've noticed
always.
2 days later, it's
the
like clockwork.
Oh,
yes.
Always.
So I think that's probably what it was. Yeah.
Those grimy little
it's
hands.
It's disgusting.
Go everywhere.
And I do the
snot, the saliva.
And I do the sanitizer. I think the sanitizer is like a sham. Like, I don't think it does anything. I really don't because every time it's like they still get sick. So.
Or it also affects your natural immune system
yes.
too, right? If you over
yes.
sterilize.
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
Who knows? Oh
so
gosh.
How about you? How was your...
Well, the highlight of my week was coming over to your house on
I
Sunday
know,
and playing
so
with the little munchkins.
Adorable.
I thought it was really sweet, actually, that Remy, the older one,
uh-huh.
he just sort of went off with the babysitter and just sort of had his own time
yeah.
to allow London to have a lot of that precious
that's
kind of
nice that you
time.
Look at it that way. I look at it like he was just like, hey, this is too much for me, peace, you know. But I like how you can spin it that way.
Cute.
But it was so cute. London was painting your leg.
Yes,
it was really
cute with
really
watercolors.
Cute.
You're like, is that okay? I'm like, yeah, it's gonna wash off,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
I felt bad about your poor couch.
Oh my god, please. My god. I, who's the idiot that buys a white couch? Please. I dug my own grave on that one. So,
oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So any other highlights?
I'm trying to think what else is... My parents are coming. I'm very excited.
That's right.
Yeah. It's
today.
Like perfect timing. They're coming tonight. So guess who's going to sleep and who's on duty? It's not me. It's my parents. They're on. And like the
That's
minute
it.
They walk in the house, it's like babysitters are here. So yeah.
How long will they stay for?
They'll stay till Sunday.
Okay.
So yeah. So it's good timing.
Very nice. You need
yeah.
a break for
yes,
sure.
Yes, exactly.
So okay. So yeah. Let's have a word from our sponsor.
Sounds good to me.
Are you getting tired of trying to create a positive life with a negative mind? Vantage Point Recovery believes that the potential wholeness and well-being of our clients depends on a systematic approach to developing an authentic and fulfilling life. Specializing in the treatment of individuals struggling with mental health and substance use disorders, we believe that your journey is our journey. Call us today at 888-668-5959 to see how our program may be able to create a shift in the thinking of you or a loved one.
Thank you,
Vantage.
Oh, so we had a great guest on last week.
I thought this was so interesting. Yeah.
Renee Jane. When I told you, when I first read it, I thought it said Gozen. What the hell is Gozen? It's gozen.com.
Exactly.
It's an anxiety site, basically,
for kids
with lots
and
of illustrations and...
Wonderful. I really, like, I wouldn't say it if it was. It was really, it's been such a great tool for my older son, and it's just, it's really cool. They have great animations. I think it's really, they capture a lot. They do a lot of, like, even if you want, like, the cliff notes, they can do that. So it's a really, really nice site. Happy
my favorite thing that she said, because I always believed this, is that the worst mistake a parent can make when a child is anxious is to tell them to just relax.
Exactly. Exactly. It's like, I know it's so funny. I just did that yesterday because it like came out. And
you
then
just
I'm like,
said, come relax.
Well, because it's like, you know what it really means? It means like, shut up. You know, like, it's not just relax. It's like, I'm getting overwhelmed here, you know? And so I heard myself being like, just relax. And then I was like, okay, that's for myself. Like that, that's the key that I need to relax. So yeah, but I really love what she said that.
Yeah. So if you missed that show, go take a listen. Today, we have a very, very exciting guest. This is so, I'm just so excited about this. Okay. So this week we have Dr. Valerie Coleman. We're going to call her Dr. Val, though. She's a psychologist and a psychoanalyst who founded Stand in Balance, equine-assisted growth, learning, and psychotherapy after experiencing the powerful and profound changes that can occur through partnership with horses. Located in Westlake Village, California, Dr. Val and her team integrate expertise in psychology, group dynamics, and systems to help children, families, and organizations maximize their potential. She firmly believes that facilitated interaction with equines can help us become better humans. This is a quote. These majestic animals are powerful messengers about who we are, how we carry ourselves, and how we relate to ourselves and others. It is in this engagement that the deepest and most powerful work occurs. Also an accomplished presenter, Dr. Val has been on faculty at Loyola Marymount University, the Newport Psychoanalytic Institute, and Antioch University. Exciting publicity for equine-assisted psychotherapy was cultivated when she appeared as a guest expert on the Dr. Phil Show. She is also a contributor in the book, Harnessing the Power of Equine-Assisted Counseling. Welcome, Dr. Val.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
What an intro. I'm so impressed.
I know. You told me. Okay, so first of all, I have to just say, Stand in Balance is one of the most amazing experiences. I'm not paid to do this at all, but I've gone to two of the workshops live. It's experiential.
So cool. And
I can just imagine the enormity of progress that people can make in a short period of time. So please enlighten our listeners. What is equine therapy and how did you get started in that?
Yeah, well, it is an amazing modality, and I actually got introduced to it about 10 years ago after being in private practice now for about 25 years. 10 years ago, I wanted horses back in my life, and as I had a couple horses, someone said, oh, you should check this out. You know, they're doing some psychotherapy, equine-assisted psychotherapy using horses. I was very skeptical, I have to tell you. As a psychologist and psychoanalyst, I was like, oh, I don't
right,
know.
Yeah,
that
right.
sounds very like a lot of woo-woo. I don't know. Uh-huh. And then what happened is that I got some training. I got certified in it through the Equine-Assisted Growth and Learning Association. And then time after time after time, I had this experience where the horses would just tune into people's unconscious dynamics and the conscious patterns that are holding them back. So both, it's like what's actually happening in the arena, but then the things that they're not aware of that are they may be unaware of how they're cutting off certain emotional states or how they don't tune into the patterns that are playing out in their lives. Or sometimes they know the patterns that are playing out in their lives and they have a ton of insight, but they're not making any changes. Mm-hmm. So every time the horses would get just spot on in terms of how they would give feedback to people about, you know, refusing to walk with them because they actually weren't really tuned in or they were saying they wanted something in their lives. Like, yes, I want to walk with this horse and get over this obstacle. Mm-hmm. This represents getting a new job in my life. That's really what I want. The horse refuses to move because there's something blocking them.
Oh my
so
God.
That's what we do with equine-assisted psychotherapy is we set up activities on the ground.
Okay.
Through interaction and relationship with the horses, we engage clients in looking at their dynamics. And it's different than, you know, sometimes people say equine therapy, and it is, you know, equine-assisted psychotherapy falls in equine therapy, but there are also people that say they're doing equine therapy and it's really that they're providing an experience with horses, but it's not psychotherapy.
That makes sense.
So what we do is psychotherapy. Uh-huh. And then there's actually also people hear about therapeutic riding or hippotherapy. Those are modalities that are amazing. They're different than what we do because those are modalities for special needs clients or differently abled. Or and they're actually riding therapies to get at some of the physiological and neurophysiological states. Whereas what we do does get at, you know, creating change in the brain because our brains are so, you know, neuroplasticity is an amazing thing. Mm-hmm. And what I love about this is that it engages someone on all levels. So although I do still do work in the office, mm-hmm. you know, we can get to certain things that way, and it's powerful. But when you come out with the horses, you're engaging mind, body, spirit, mm-hmm. really having to connect up somatically, meaning, you know, connecting up with actually what's happening in your body and using your senses and your instinctual wisdom.
God. Wow.
And what I love about your place, too, is you call them four-leggeds because it's not just horses. They have donkeys, too.
No way!
And yes. What's so sweet about it is that you and the other facilitators, they don't really tell you their names. They don't tell you anything really specific about the animals because they want it to be sort of like a
blank
palette.
Slate.
Yeah, like
yeah.
A blank slate for projection. And I found that the two different times that I went, I had two really profoundly different experiences because had what had just recently happened in my life. And so when I came this more recent uh-huh. time, I had had this sort of family conflict
yeah.
experience, and I was feeling a little bit dejected and rejected and all this stuff. And so it was like, I was very raw and very vulnerable, and the horse seemed and the four-leggeds seemed very connected to that. Like they were okay with that. They didn't like wow. shun away from me. They were like very accepting, except the big dude.
Wow.
But it's so interesting how much transference goes on in that yeah. in that arena and with other people. Because tell us about the group component, because I find that to be so interesting.
Oh yeah, what's so amazing about groups, and we work with different addiction treatment programs mm-hmm. and have groups, and then we also do workshops, which are group, you know, and family groups, and then organizations,
yeah.
team building and leadership development. So when you get a group out there, let's say you have a team that comes out from an organization, and they are, you know, they know each other, they've been working together, but there's things that are undermining their potential,
yeah.
you know, or they're not really getting the results and the productivity that they want. Well, when they try to come together, let's say we set up something, we'll name a goal, like maybe it's a sales goal that they have. We'll have them build something out of materials like poles or
okay.
cones that represent that. So it's all metaphorical. And then they have to figure out, let's say they have a certain customer that they're trying to sell
uh-huh.
this product to. And they will name one of the four-leggeds, you know, pick a four-legged that represents that customer, and they need to get that four-legged into that sale
wow.
Without a halter and a lead rope. If, as a team, they're actually really all in alignment and both individually what we call congruent, meaning that their insides and their outsides match, like they're saying, yes, I want this, I have focus and intention about getting there,
yeah.
and that's true on the inside,
uh-huh.
and everybody's connected up with that, and they have calm, assertive energy and good communication, they'll be able to get that four-legged in there.
Wow.
If
we sucked.
Yeah, I was going to say, I can imagine.
Yeah, but it's hard, right? You have different people.
Wow.
I know.
This is great team building.
It was amazing. But what was so cool about it, though, is that there was like a Palomino, right?
Yes.
The blonde. Yeah. And then our group was fixated on getting the big dude to come into our circle. He wasn't having it. We weren't doing well at all. But then when we went to go talk about our group and all that stuff, the little Palomino came and just hung out right next to us the whole time. But then the next group tried to get the Palomino into their circle.
Yeah.
Wouldn't have it. They don't. It's like.
Okay.
I
have so many questions.
Okay, go.
Okay. So my question is, okay, so the donkey and the horses, do you feel like those are sort of the animals that tune in the most to people? Or are there other animals that you don't work with?
That is a really good question.
Yeah.
So here's the thing, is that they're prey animals.
Okay.
Right? Meaning that they're like antelope, deer, rabbits. They are the food for the predators,
mm-hmm.
lions, tigers, bears. There are other animals that tune into us, like dogs.
Yeah.
You know, we have a partnership with dogs. And I
yes.
have dogs. I love dogs. Dogs are predators like we are. And dogs are people pleasers, you know. They want to please us. And they'll also bond with us
uh-huh.
no matter how abused they are.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's sad, but true.
Yeah.
Right? Because they're so connected with us.
Uh-huh.
And horses and donkeys, in contrast, you know, they're really the only prey animal that has a partnership with us humans. For centuries mm-hmm. and centuries, we went to war with them, built our cities with them, plowed our fields with them. They're wired in a way to connect with us, but they're prey animals. And as prey animals, they're really tuned into their senses to a very, you know, it's sort of finely tuned in terms of what they see, what they hear, what they pick up on energetically.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
And different than dogs, because they're prey animals,
mm-hmm.
they are not people pleasers.
Right.
They're really, both the donkeys and the horses are like, huh,
skeptical.
Yeah. Who are you? What's your energy? Are you thinking about eating me? You look really calm on the outside, but I can tell because I'm picking up on all these energetic signals, and I can sense your heartbeat, you know, that you're not calm on the inside. So what's up? Are you thinking about eating me? Right? So that's why they tune in. That keeps them safe out in the wild. So even though, you know, we have this domesticated relationship with them now, they're really just tuned in to their instinctual wisdom. And for us, with our herd of four-leggeds, we really want them living as naturally as possible. They live in one big herd, the horses and the donkeys all together, so that they're really connected with their instincts. And then they can help us connect up with our instinctual wisdom.
Gosh, this is incredible.
Yeah, and did you know, is it almost 360 degrees they can see?
Yeah.
The way
eyes
are.
Right. Their eyes on the side. That's that prey animal. Eyes on the side meant to hide. And there's just a tiny blind spot in front and in back. But they see all this that we don't see.
Right.
Yeah.
So, okay. So, like, let's say somebody's really anxious. How would that exhibit in a horse? Would he get, like, you know?
Well, so here's the interesting thing, right? Okay, because... Sure, if someone's anxious, the horse is going to be like, oh, huh, why are you anxious? Is there something to worry about? You know, I don't know what's going on here. But they're much calmer when we just own our anxiety. Mm. So if we're anxious, you know, whether we know it or not, because sometimes people say they're not anxious, but actually if you took a physiological reading of them, they really are. They've just tuned out their emotional state and physiological state, because that's what we do so much in our world these days. Or with the little traumas and the big traumas, we tune out. So if we're not aware that we're anxious, or we're anxious but we're trying to pretend like we're not, that's when they're like, whoa, this is dangerous. Their heads go up. You know, they might move away. They might, you know, turn away. They have different signals that they give. And that's part of our job as the facilitators and the therapists, is to help people understand the feedback that the horses are giving them through how they're responding.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Okay. Sorry. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, so it's amazing when, you know, so we have one horse who's super sensitive, and you could have someone, you know, who's standing near him, and they don't even have to get close enough to touch him. If they're either incongruent, or they're feeling some heightened pressure, he just is, it's almost like you can see him just get all prickly. But if you can help them pause, get mindful, calm down, really lower their energy, and get out of that anxious state into a calm state, he calms down, and you get to visibly see it. And so we help people start to be able to recognize those signs. So they're tuning in to the cues that the horses, are giving them.
So basically, okay, so a person comes in, and let's say, for that example, the horse gets a little anxious. Would you then kind of point it out, like, oh, okay, here I'm seeing, you know.
And often we'll ask them, you know, because we want to know. I mean, it's really about helping people tune into themselves and learning how to trust themselves again. We see a lot of trauma survivors, you know, people who've disconnected from themselves, and being able to actually trust ourselves, what we see, what we're picking up on, what we're feeling in our gut, is a big part of reconnecting and getting healthy.
Sure.
So we want to help people start to recognize that and learn how to tune in. So we'll even ask, like, what are you noticing?
Yeah.
What do you think? And it is a great projective sort of slate also, because sometimes the horse will actually be calm, but people feel like it's about to kick them.
Yes. Yes.
That's what they're used to. Or I even had one client that I've worked with for a long time in the office, and I had her come out to the arena to do some work. The horses were all standing out there. They were sleeping. But her take on it was that they were all just waiting to attack, because that's what her inner world was like. So we work with that, but then we also help them really recognize, like, okay, he's responding to you in a way, you know, after we've processed the projective stuff and what that's related to, you know, in a way that's saying he's not feeling safe for some reason. Here's the signs. What are you aware of? What's going on inside of you? I want you to really tune in and notice what's happening inside of you, and helping them do that. And that creates
This is so... I can see this being incredible.
Oh, I know. I want to do like a couples retreat there.
Yes!
Or something like
that. Yeah. I would love it. We've done them before and it's been amazingly powerful.
Yes. That is so cool. It is so cool. And I'm assuming you do for businesses too, like a team building? Because that would be fantastic.
Yeah. We do actually do a lot of team building.
Yeah.
And we'll go on site and do things. You know, I can do a lot of different assessments.
Oh, really?
And work with people and their teams and do leadership development on site. But I really do think a lot of the most powerful things are when we're able to integrate that or when they even just come out for an experience at the ranch. And then what we do, it isn't just about having the experience. It's about taking that experience and turning it into actionable steps so that you're really creating change.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes people, organizations will go for team building and they'll do very cool things, which are actually effective. Mm-hmm. You know, they're useful in their own way, like a ropes course or different challenges.
Sure.
And those things are great. I mean, I've done them. I've gotten something out of them. But they're different in that, you know, you have that bonding that occurs and you have some insight that occurs, but you're not getting that real-time immediate feedback from an unbiased being. Mm-hmm. Whereas the horses are much more honest and direct than we humans are.
Yeah,
you know?
They
and
are.
So they'll tell you, you know, what real teamwork and leadership is and what it isn't.
Wow.
Or how, you know, clear your leadership is, how congruent your team is, how clear the communication is, and it's right there real time. Then we process that, figure out how they're going to put that back into action at work or in their family or with their kids or with their spouse, and create real action steps that get followed up on.
Fabulous.
And where did you acquire these four-leggeds? I mean, from different places? Or?
You know, they are. We're really blessed to have the amazing herd that we have, and they've all come to us and been donated by different people. So some of them have come from some backgrounds, you know, where they were a little neglected, or there's actually the two big donkeys that I have who are amazing. The gal that I bought the ranch from actually had rescued them from the Bureau of Land Management.
Wow.
So they were wild burros.
Wow.
That
wow.
now help humans. How amazing
That's
is that?
Incredible.
And then the other horses, you know, came and all from different, whether it's physical injuries or emotional injuries, but most of them have some emotional stuff. And that's part of what helps them tune into us, you know,
sure.
I think. Definitely.
We are talking with Dr. Val Coleman. She is the founder of Stand in Balance, and we're going to take a little break from our sponsor.
Were you diagnosed with a mental health related disorder and feel stigmatized so much you find yourself unable to reach out for help? At Vantage Point Recovery, we believe that every single human being has unlimited potential that is often unrealized. While a diagnosis offers a starting place to unpack what is blocking our clients from accessing that part of themselves, we do not believe they are their diagnosis. We believe that within every diagnosis lies a seed of hope and opportunity for our clients to realize more of who they really are so they can become who they want to be. Call us today at 888-668-5959 to see how our program may be a fit for you or a loved one.
Thank you so much, Vantage Recovery, for sponsoring our show. Now we are back with Dr. Val Coleman. We are talking about equine therapy, psychotherapy, actually, right? Yes. I think that's important, right? Because it
absolutely.
It's as you were saying, it's really a different angle.
Right. Yeah, it's really taking it to a level of depth that is different than having a therapeutic experience that's meaningful, just like you go for a massage, right? You go for a massage, it's therapeutic. I had one yesterday. Mm-hmm. I really needed that. It's created a change, but it's not psychotherapy.
Sure.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
I was thinking about something that happened to me. I didn't experience, and I'm trying to remember where I went, but it was many, many years ago. And it was, I had to put a harness on a horse.
Oh,
So would that, and it was so hard. I can't even tell you. And they just, so basically the point is to put this harness on a horse and they don't tell you how to do it. It's like, here you go, good luck, you know, and like we'll kind of see how it goes. And I'm used to my dog's harness. So I put this thing on. I must have done it 25 times, every which way, upside down. I was upside down. The horse was up. I mean, I was like doing every which way. I could not do it. And I was getting so frustrated. And clearly, you know, that was the sign. But yeah, would that be something that you would do?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
That is something.
Okay.
Sometimes we'll start with the halters on. Sometimes we'll start with them off. It depends on what, because we customize our sessions based on what we're doing.
Yes.
So depending on what kinds of challenges or issues the person or the family or the organization wants to work on.
I see.
But that is, so it sounds like you got an experience.
Yes.
Of some of what we do sometimes.
So interesting.
Setting up challenges and not providing the answers so that you have to work through it and you have to see what comes up for you. Oh. And then it's very much about like, oh, Kelly.
Yeah.
Where does that come up in your life?
Yes, exactly. Well, it was like I kept like looking at the person being like, come on, hint, you know, like give me something, you know, and it was just tough. But it was really cool at the same time because it's true. It's not like anything I've experienced before. So I really like that.
There's another piece to it that I found really fascinating, too, that's actually just coming to my awareness right now. But how, you know, a lot of times when we all look at something, we just assume people are seeing and projecting a similar experience that we are. And you get to realize just how different the same stimuli can have as an impact on somebody. Because, like, the larger of the it's really big. But really, the other one that isn't quite as big could kill me just as easily.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, but somehow I feel safer with the one who's, you know, like height level a little bit more. And the other one is maybe what, like 4 or 5 inches taller? Maybe, I don't know. And other people that did not have the same reaction.
Really?
So it was really interesting to see just how different we all are as humans based on our experience.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And based on our experience, both from past experience and also what's going on presently.
Sure.
And how that shifts, like you were saying, you had two different experiences.
Right.
Based on what was up for you when you came out.
But it's got to be a great lesson for couples, especially because people fight about perception, right?
Yes.
Well, that didn't happen. Well, yeah, it did happen, but it didn't happen that way, or I didn't interpret it that way. So they fight about something that isn't really worth the fight instead of just embracing that. Well, of course you could see that differently.
Right. I have a great example, actually, of a couple. But and I love this because it was just so palpable and right there. Mm-hmm. We had a couple who came out to see us, and usually when it's two or more, we'll work as a team, you know, an equine specialist and a therapist or someone that's both, but we like to have two sets of eyes on.
Sure.
So 4 eyes on.
Yeah,
makes sense.
So we had this couple, a man and a woman, who came out because they had a lot of childhood trauma, and they'd done a lot of therapy work, you know, so which was great because they had a lot of insight, but they knew there were things they wanted to change, and we're really committed to working hard on creating some changes in terms of how volatile things could get between them when there was a misunderstanding based on how they perceive things or that judgment that often comes up, you know, and those patterns that just play over and over and over again in a relationship. Yeah. They kind of take on a life of their own, right?
Yes.
So we set them up, and we actually labeled some barrels in the arena. We set up 4 different stations with different topics that they had named as challenges. They had communication, they had connection, they had intimacy, and trust.
Okay.
Which were 4 different stations they needed to move to. They needed to choose a horse and or choose a four-legged. They actually chose a horse. And then connect up with that four-legged and walk to those stations and talk about them when they got there. So they connected up actually with the blonde guy. And they were able to walk to the got to communication, they actually got to intimacy, and things were going smoothly, and my co-facilitator, Terry, and I were sitting on the other side of the arena, and we could see that the wife had said something to the husband, but what we saw most, like, dramatically was that right there as there was that exchange, the horse dug his heels in, so to speak, and refused to move forward.
No.
And they were on their way from intimacy to trust.
Ah!
And he just refused to go.
Wow.
And, you know, it's like, okay, something just happened. That's their usual dynamic, their usual pattern. And no matter that whole session, they could not get him. In fact, he started backing them up because it was like, this dynamic is playing out here, and there is no trust when this is happening. It's like, and they were able to connect that with their children and how that impact, you know, how that happens in their marriage. And what had happened is a typical kind of dynamic, right? Where the wife had said something because she felt like the husband should be doing it differently than what he was, and he shut down immediately, and the horse is like, not moving an inch. So we processed that. We spent time, we talked about it, but the great thing is that they already knew they had that pattern, right?
Sure.
We could talk about that pattern until we were blue in the face, but having that immediate feedback and that refusal was so powerful for them. So we processed it. They went home. They worked on it. The next week they came back, and they were in such a different place because they both had to own their part of it, you know? And they were able to, we set up the same thing. They just moved around and went to trust like it was butter.
No.
Did they use the same horse?
Yes, same horse. Huh. Yeah.
Wow. Right. This is incredible.
Did the horse give him a high five at the end?
Yeah, exactly. A high hoof. Yeah.
Yeah. Hey.
Hey.
So cute. God.
Yeah, you mentioned that it's like biofeedback. They're like biofeedback beings. Maybe you can explain a little bit about that.
Yeah, exactly. Like big biofeedback beings, or we actually had... one, we were doing some family sessions, a family group. We had a father who called them emotional Geiger counters. So, and it's really amazing because that is, it's like they tune in and they give that immediate feedback as to what they're picking up on and how the energy is affecting them. So, and you can't fool them, you know, as people, we can be fooled or we'll even, you know, sometimes we'll feel something, but we'll discount it.
Yes.
Right? We don't trust it. We might pick up a vibe that's like, oh, what's that?
Yeah.
There's something that doesn't feel good there. Well, maybe it's just me, right?
Uh-huh.
They're like, no, I know what I'm feeling. This is what's happening. You know, they're just clear, direct. Yeah. And they also, you know, they're giving such honest feedback. And they don't, well, what happens really is it also helps people be less defensive. Because then they're not processing that feedback based on what they think the horse thinks of them. You know, like, like Deborah, you give me some feedback. And I'm like, oh, well, that's just Deborah. You know,
right.
I know that's Deborah's issues. No, you know, it's like true, honest biofeedback.
There we go. It's all me again.
Exactly.
It's all you.
Well, I was just thinking that as you were talking, I'm like, I wonder if the horse does something. The couple's like, see, look what you're digging your heat in the, you know. The
it's your
heat.
Fault.
Exactly. Yeah. Do you get that too? Or how do you know which one the horse is picking up?
Oh, well, it's both of them.
Okay.
I mean, when it's like that, it's there's no doubt.
Wow.
Like even yesterday we had some couples out. We do some work with veterans, which is really powerful and impactful. And it was really interesting because even though one of the horses was more tuned in, it was a man and his wife, and even though the horse was more tuned in to the man, it wasn't until he and his wife were able to get real about something that hadn't been able to be spoken before, that the horse walked with them. So although the horse was connecting with the man, they had this nice connection, it took, because, you know, I wish I could tell you how they do what they do.
They're
so amazing. But they know they're working. They know,
they do.
You know, there's this energy that's happening between these two.
Uh-huh.
You know, I'm feeling, I mean, you can just see it. It all plays out. So
that's incredible.
Yeah.
Does anybody ever ride these horses or never?
You know, we'll very rarely integrate riding sometimes, but it has to be, because it's not all about horsemanship. So it has to be something that we have a good reason to integrate. Like we had a young girl that we were working with, worked through a lot of social anxiety, a lot of confidence issues, and she had done so much work that it was time for her to actually take on a bigger challenge. Mm-hmm. So we did some very basic riding. But we don't really teach riding.
Sure.
And we'll do trust rides sometimes.
But these horses have been ridden, or do
some of
your staff ride them, or they're just not?
We don't generally ride them.
Okay.
Yeah. But they can be ridden, some of them.
Yeah.
But some of them have injuries and they can't be ridden.
Got it.
Sure.
Yeah. So they're not really riding horses. They're really psychotherapy horses.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and they're all so beautiful, too.
I'm just thinking that if I were there, I'd be, like, smooching them, and, like, they would be, like, walking away, because, like, I'm such a cuddle bug. Like, the donkey, I'd be, like, licking the donkey's face. Like, how are
I'm
they...
I'm glad you didn't say you were licking something else in the donkey.
I probably would.
Oh, my God!
It's called an ass for a reason. But, like, how are they with, like, people who, like, want to cuddle and pet?
Well, here's the thing that's really cool, is that, you know, just like all of us have different personalities, they all have different horsenalities and donkinalities. Call them, right?
It's cute.
So there's some of them that are like, oh my gosh, love me, scratch me here, get close to me, you know. Then there's others that are more shy.
Sure.
Then there are some that are, you know, like, huh, let me test your boundaries.
Yeah.
You know,
sure.
How can I push you? You know,
so
they're all different.
Yeah.
And then they all have different places. It's like, yes, I want you to scratch me here, or you know, no, that doesn't feel good, or you know,
sure.
So you get to, and what we like to do is have people experiment, see what you notice.
Yes.
Tune in, you know, and notice what's happening for you, but also notice what's happening for the other. Before
and for people who are listening who say, horses, I'm scared of horses, which so many people can be, especially if they had a challenging situation as a child.
For sure.
And But you guys do such a nice job of giving people safety tips and, you know, just really the things to look out for and all that. So I really like that. I have to tell you a funny story about me and a horse.
Yeah. Okay.
So when my sister and I were younger, we got this horse. He was a little Appaloosa and a Pony of America. So he was a small guy. He was about 13 hands. And I guess they drugged him when we went to pick him up. So he was bipolar, hyperactive, like every single diagnosis you could think of that would be a challenge
out of his head.
Yes. Wow. And so he had a personality that was just bigger than yours, Kelly. I mean, just bigger than your personality.
Yeah.
So you know what I'm saying.
Yes.
And so anyway, I'm riding this dude. His name was Charlie. He liked to drink beer and strawberry soda.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. Yeah. Sure. That was very helpful. Nobody at the ranch could get this guy trained. Nobody. I mean, he was a wild card. But he was really fun sometimes. If he was in a good mood, he was fun. Saddle him up and just go riding. So one time, apparently, he was not having it. He did not want to ride. He bucks me off. Like, I mean, I was a pretty good rider at the time. Kicks me off. I'm landing on the, I'm on the ground. He comes right over me. He takes his front hoof. He puts it right over my chest. Does not stomp on me.
Oh my God.
Just holding me. Then he jumps back and like he does it like a hey, you know, like that.
A little happy dance.
Yes.
Oh, look what I did to you.
Wow. What did that mean?
Oh
well, I need an
he
analyst
was saying,
here.
You know, you're making me do something I'm not interested in doing and I'm stronger than you. I'm a boundary pusher. I'm going to, you know,
I see.
And it was just, I was terrified.
I'm
but
sure.
But then it was really funny because he was consciously and purposely toying with me.
Right.
Absolutely. That was a total intention on his part.
Right, and he knew what he was
he
doing.
He knew what he was doing.
Yes.
Yeah.
So what happened after that?
We kept him for another like year or something, and then we found somebody else who decided they'd take him on as a project to try to get him trained.
Yeah, exactly.
But he was like 9 years old. He'd really never been trained, but I think they sedated him when we got him.
Gosh,
so he was
did.
Just
it's
kind
terrible.
He was pretty calm, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, that was a great first horse, right?
Yeah, exactly.
No!
That's a crazy story.
It's a crazy story. And I was, you know, and then I have had a couple of pretty gnarly falls on horses.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, like riding full gallop and then the horse trips.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
Well, your momentum continues to go. Fell
sure.
on my head and my shoulders and scrunched. Oh, it hurt.
Yeah.
So then I have a little bit of fear about horses now.
Right.
Yeah.
And you know
and
what?
I should.
Actually, yeah, and you should. That's healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And we do have people actually who come out who've had some bad experiences and want to try to get over that. Or that their bad experiences, you know, it's like they have other things and they want to be overcoming this fear helps them overcome other fears. And we're very big on safety and also, you know, helping people get to a place where they can feel comfortable. So we're not going to push anybody into doing anything that they don't feel comfortable with. But, yeah, so many people. And sometimes, you know, you go out to ride places and you don't get any instruction or anything.
Right.
And then it's just...
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, they have some pretty strict laws here for renting horses, though, in terms of like helmets and things like that now. But they didn't used to.
No.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
And how long's a typical session?
You know, we do, 50 minutes is a regular, you know, just like in the office.
Sure.
A lot of our clients actually come out for 90-minute sessions, you know, and we can do different things. We've had sometimes I've had people drive up, you know, like from Laguna, let's say, and they'll come for a half a day session. So we'll customize a program for them. But in terms of like regular sessions, usually the 50 minutes to 90 minutes are what we do, and it gives people an opportunity to, you know, really kind of digest what's happening. And it is, you know, shorter. Like sometimes folks will just come out for 2 or 3 sessions or a handful of sessions, like 6 to 8 sessions, and then they take that and run
I
with
see.
It.
Yeah.
And then we do have some people that come, you know, they'll come just like regular therapy and come for a year or so because they're working on so many different things and it's all getting integrated. And we have therapists that refer their clients so that they can come out, do some experiential work, and then take that back to the office and process.
This is amazing.
I know that you guys do a really good collaborative effort on that.
Yeah,
on
we
that
love
kind of
to
stuff.
Do that. It's so important.
Yeah.
And are insurance companies, like, are they on board with this type of thing, or is it still too voodoo for them?
Well, there are some insurance companies, and you'll find, like, managed care companies. I know a couple people who, you know, they will pay for equine-assisted psychotherapy because they understand the psychotherapy component to it.
Sure,
Because we integrate so much what we do is psychotherapy.
Yeah.
You know, that's what we're billing. But we don't actually bill insurance.
Oh, I see.
But we will give people, you know, statements
super bill.
To be reimbursed.
Yeah.
But oftentimes, you know, some insurance companies, they confuse it with like therapeutic writing. You know, they don't understand what it's really all about.
Sure.
But there is more and more education that's mm-hmm. been going on in terms of the healthcare community. So just need to keep educating.
That's so cool.
That's awesome. Really. Hey, so tell us, how did you come up with the name Stand and Balance? I love that name. And it's Stand, and then it's I and Balance, all one word.
Yeah. Yes, Stand in Balance. Well, you know,
it's like a hashtag.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Kind of, exactly. Right?
Well, I guess it's because, you know, I just think being able to, as much as possible, be in balance is something that we mm-hmm. often all, you know, it's like we strive for that. And the reality, though, is that we're never really standing in balance. You know, balance is not a static state. Mm-hmm. But when we stand in a balancing place, you know, where we're able to move, so standing in balance for me means that we've got some awareness of where we're at.
Yeah.
We have flexibility, you know, mm-hmm. so I can move and figure out how to keep my balance. And I've got resilience, you know, I can
sure.
bounce back.
Yeah.
So that's what stand in balance represents. And it just kind of, it just sort of came.
I just recently went back to Pilates, and I see how bad my balance is.
Yeah.
I like to think that I'm emotionally balanced at times.
Right.
But boy, my physical balance, when you have to stand on this leg and point this toe over here and not fall down.
It's challenging.
It is challenging.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's a great name. And I love that you guys, they have water containers and little coffee cups too, right?
T-shirts, little horses, visors.
And how many therapists are on staff?
Gosh, we have about 5 different therapists
and
equine specialists that work. But there's probably 3-4 of us that are the main team.
Mm-hmm.
And that's important thing, you know, is that we're really a team. Just like we have a herd,
mm-hmm.
we're really, like, we just value teamwork so mm-hmm. much. So I feel blessed to have such an amazing team that we work with.
Yeah. And is it like a specific type of formula, or is every therapist may do something a little bit different?
Well, at Stand and Balance, so there's a couple different certifications that you can get.
Okay.
Like there is Equine Assisted Growth and Learning Association, which is the most clinical certification. So if you're a psychotherapist and you want to do this work, I think that's a really good base.
Sure.
First, you really, you know, I think first you have to be a good therapist.
Right.
Then you can integrate this.
Mm-hmm.
So there's the EGALA training. And then I'm also certified in equine experiential education, which is a little more for corporate.
Oh, I see. Sure.
And wellness, personal wellness.
Uh-huh.
So we combine different, you know, the EGALA model is our base. And as a psychologist and psychoanalyst, we're really kind of creating a hybrid model that integrates mm-hmm. psychodynamic thinking, you know, attachment, relational theory,
sure.
different ways of working that create sort of the stand and balance model.
Yeah.
So although the different therapists, you know, might have their specialties, there is kind of a core
sure.
for what we do
mm-hmm.
that's, I think, really, really powerful and effective. And I just think we have a great group of folks.
Oh, you do. They are. They're really special. It's just such a neat experience. Everybody needs to have that experience at least once in their life. It's so phenomenal.
And you do continuing education. That's how you found
it. That's
how
I found it.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. What a fantastic. Great way to get my credits.
That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking, mm-hmm. like, when I'm licensed, I want to do that. That would be fantastic.
Yeah.
Really neat.
It is really, really neat. So it sounds like, from what you're describing, that really there's a wide array of issues, experiences that people can come to you with mm-hmm. depression, anxiety, post-traumatic stress disorder. What about schizophrenia?
You know, for someone that's actively psychotic, mm-hmm. this is not the best thing mm-hmm. because part of what tends to happen is that they're hearing voices, they're having a hard time tuning in.
Oh.
So it's not the safest environment for someone that's actively psychotic.
Mm-hmm.
We have worked with folks, though, who are medicated and recovering mm-hmm. from schizophrenia and different kinds of disorders.
Sure.
So it can be useful sometimes just being around the animals and having that and help reading signals.
Yeah.
So it really depends. And we work with ages 6 and up. So we also work with ADHD and different
neat.
Childhood difficulties and we'll have someone see the family sometimes in the office while our therapists are working with the kids in the arena.
Oh, that's nice.
What's the youngest age?
She's at 6.
Six.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, all right, well, let's take a quick pause for our sponsor and then we'll hear more.
Do you swear off drugs or alcohol in the morning, only to succumb to the thought later in the day? According to the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration's 2012 survey on drug use and health, it was shown that roughly 8.4 million adults in the U.S. suffered from addiction and mental health-related disorders. Vantage Point Recovery, specializing in intensive treatment for those struggling with addiction and mental health-related disorders, has a place for you. Located in Thousand Oaks, California, call us today at 888-668-5959 to see how our program may be a fit for you or a loved one.
Thank you, Vantage Recovery. They do some really good work there. So, yes, we are talking to Dr. Val Coleman, who is the founder of Stand in Balance. And you're going to offer a special for our listeners today,
yes,
right?
Yes, I am. Yeah, for folks that are listening, or if you call up or email us and say that, you know, you heard me on LA Talk Radio, we'll give you 20% off your first session. Or if you sign up for a workshop series, we'll add 20% discount
that's
for
fabulous.
That. So that's a pretty big
that's
chunk.
A big
yes,
yeah.
Exactly.
And folks can find us at StandInBalance.com or call us at 818-714-1740.
Yeah, and do we get 20% off too?
Yeah, exactly. Well,
I know, exactly. So cool.
You might be able to talk me into it.
It's so funny. I took my niece out to go shopping for one of those spinner suitcases because
yes.
she headed off to Spain to study abroad for a couple months. And so we went to Macy's, and then I said, come on, any good Jew, if I am, we have to go to Ross for less for also and compare, right? She's like, okay, Tia. And
so
we went there. We ended up purchasing at Macy's.
Not a Ross,
like,
exactly.
What? It's like in my core, I have to get the discount.
Yes.
I can have it.
So
my father, he's proud of me at this
exactly.
moment.
Exactly. Yeah. That's so great.
Okay, so any last minute stuff that we didn't cover that you really want our audience to know about?
Wow, that's a
big one.
I know, exactly. To throw you off.
I have so many stories and different things. I think, you know, the biggest thing is just that it can be so hard to imagine what it's like without experiencing mm-hmm. it. So I really encourage folks to come out. We do an introductory workshop usually 3 times a year, mm-hmm. and then we have other things that are going on, mm-hmm. other workshops. So you can come to a workshop first and then see if maybe you want to do some
cool.
other sessions, or just call it. Sometimes we've had folks, you know, they get like a few friends together and they come out and do a session.
Yeah.
So that it's growth and learning, and then they can take it deeper as they want to. So I just love to introduce people to this and to how powerful and provocative the work is.
That's amazing. So could like a group of people like organize that even like for a bridal shower or could
sure. bridal
sure.
bridal
that would be unique.
That
but
is
yeah,
kind of cool.
We can do that.
Sure,
you know?
It's like fun. You can
yes.
learn
well,
about
so much about empowerment too.
Yeah,
right?
Uh-huh. And authenticity, empowerment.
Yeah, authenticity, empowerment, and you know, connecting with yourself, with your friends, and preparing for that next step of life. Definitely.
I'm going to start recommending that for my couples who are getting married. I'm going to have the bachelor party and the bachelorette party.
Exactly.
Should go come
sure.
to you.
What if you had like a bridezilla who was like, you know, like the horse would be like, you know.
Well, think about how, I mean, at those changes in one's life, how many issues come up.
Sure.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
Embarking on a big change, a lifetime commitment, all of those things. I
yeah.
could just see
mm-hmm.
that would be really good.
Yeah, mm-hmm. sure.
Definitely. And you know what that makes me think of? I have some colleagues in another state. They're out in Arizona, and they do team building too. And they've had some managers, you know, some companies come out mm-hmm. using this model and the team building work that we can do to have them decide who they're going to promote to manager.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
so cool.
Good screening.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Yeah. So please go visit Dr. Val on her website, standinbalance.com. And as she said, it's a 20% off your first session if you say you heard it from the horse's mouth.
Oh, that's great.
That was good.
That
just
actually
came right out of my butt.
That is so
the butt
funny.
You're not licking.
Oh, God. She's dying.
We've deteriorated
yes,
now.
Exactly.
It's okay. So thank you so much for
yes,
being
thank
with
you
us.
So
absolutely.
Much, Dr. Val.
Oh, my gosh. It's an absolute
Next
pleasure.
Week.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. Awesome. Awesome guest. I'm so excited. I can't wait to go do another one.
I'm
Next
so
week,
cool.
we have Dr. Sue Johnson. Yes.
She is the couples expert, exactly, which I've heard great things. So I'm super excited about that. And yeah, so visit us at docandtherapist.com, and we are on Twitter at doctherapist1. And hey, you can find our books and all that good stuff on our website, or email us anytime at docandtherapist@gmail.com.
And like us on Twitter, please. We need to have more followers. We feel like dejected and alone. We have to go for equine imbalance
therapy. No. Exactly, right?
All right, on Twitter.
But we are gaining more and more listeners all the time. So we're very happy you stay connected to us. Thank you all.
See you next week.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to the Dr. Deborah and Therapist Kelly Show, only on LA Talk Radio.